Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Sunday, September 19th. It's week two of the NFL season. We're coming off a Thursday night, Washington barely edging out the Giants on Thursday Night Football, in which turned out to be kind of a thriller. I was planning on opening this episode petitioning for there to be no more Thursday night games where the over is under 45 points. But no, this was a really fun and I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. It did seem like the Giants just didn't want to win that game though.
Oh my goodness. That, what a brutal ending for Giants fans. You're going to 0-2 now. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, when you look off of, there's two drives where, you know, they had that touchdown callback, had to settle for a field goal. Mm-hmm. And then was it Slayton or who dropped that big touchdown?
Yeah. The over the shoulder. Yeah. I don't know if that was Slayton.
Had to settle for a field goal.
Yeah.
And there's another drive. They got sacked out of field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
And then the penalty on the football team's field goal right at the end of the game that would have missed.
He missed it. Yeah.
And it just. So many points left on the board there for
right.
The Giants.
Yeah, our bets kind of reflected our belief in Taylor Heinicke. And despite those not really hitting, especially we both were on Heinicke over 20 and a half rush yards. I don't even think he got close to that. I think he ended with like six. Still a really good game from him.
Yeah.
He looked very impressive. He was, even when in the first half, he was kind of running for his life at times, which kind of made me, was my rationale why I thought maybe the rush yards would be the play, but not quite. I mean, I picked him up and started him in my 2QB fantasy league. So I'm pretty happy going forward with his performance.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting once Fitzpatrick is ready. If Heinicke keeps performing,
I think you got to run with the hot hand. Like if he plays week in and week out to a similar level that he played this week, because obviously he did. There were times where, you know, he wasn't perfect. We'll put it that way. I mean, that late interception that should have cost them the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right or wrong, I got a feeling it'll come down to like, did they win or lose the game before he's ready to come back?
Right.
Yeah, so kind of recap of that. I picked over 40 and a half. That one hit, that was pretty easy. Like I said, we both lost on over 20 and a half rush yards for Heinicke, but it stings a little bit more for one of us than the other.
Puts me one step closer to having to wear a Brett Favre Vikings jersey.
It's true. He's already burned his lock of the week, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm 0-1, he's 0-2. So doors open for me this week to, you know, can take a little bit of a lead there at our lock challenge. And then I believe we also both missed on the -6.5 when we moved the line up to.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul, though. They didn't cover at 3.5 either. So I can't feel too bad about it. We're getting to the end of the game where it's like, I think we'd almost rather have them not score here rather than go up one so they can go to overtime so they can win by 7. Like, you're really trying to talk yourself into all these situations. But, yeah, not a great start to the week for us, but we're still both positive. You're still – you've got plenty of a buffer to play with your units.
I did also hit his pass yards.
Yeah, you did hit his pass yards. 273. Right. So, not a horrendous day for us, but
yeah.
Not great either. But Sunday, we had week one calibration week. We're ready to really start making some money now, or at least I am. I don't know about how you're feeling.
I'm ready for it.
I was excited for week one. I thought I was betting a lot. I got an even bigger card this week. I got a bet in every single game. So let's get right into it. Patriots at Jets. I said not too long ago, I don't really like this game. 6 feels like, I mean, the Patriots look Mac Jones was encouraging, but they couldn't really. Their defense can be scored on, clearly. The Dolphins' offense didn't look excellent, and they still were able to score enough to get past the Patriots. The team clearly has holes.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of weapons for Mac Jones in that offense. It's 5.5. I think the Patriots will win this game pretty – I think that's a pretty easy bet, but – I could just see it being by like 3. I could also see it being by like 14, but I don't really like that over under 43, especially with like the scores of both the Patriots and the Jets games last week, kind of both around there, just kind of feels right. I don't really like either of the sides on this. Did you bet either the lines or the spread or the over under?
Everything felt right. I like you said, I do think the Pats will win this game, but -240, it's just not juicy enough for me to bet on.
I thought I was going to also have no bets, but then I snuck a little look at the player props. We can agree the Dolphins have a pretty good defense. Mac Jones still threw for 281 yards in his debut against that Dolphins defense, despite not really putting a whole lot of points up. So I'm taking the kid to get over 300 passing yards against this Jets team, which while the defense may be improved, it's still new. And pretty juicy odds on it, +177 for him to break over 299.5 pass yards there. So especially for the price I'm getting it at, I really like that bet against worse defense for him to put up 19 more pass yards. I guess the only worry would be if they go up big early. I just don't know if they're going to be able to put points on the board to do that.
Right. I mean, it depends, like, what Belichick's definition of being up big early is.
Right.
Like, if they get up 14-0, is Belichick just going to slow it down? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is he just going to give the ball to his young QB?
Right. And also, if your young QB is out there slinging it, looking really good in week 2, are you going to want to, and you're up 10, up 14, are you going to want to like rein them in? Or are you going to want to let them, you know, build that confidence up?
Right.
Like, so I like that bet. Moving on to something even less exciting. I think we got Broncos at Jaguars. Broncos surprised me last week. I was expecting the Jaguars to obviously bet the Texans last week. Wasn't too high on the Jaguars. You know, new QB, even if it is, you know, the chosen one, new coach, just team wasn't really that improved outside of Lawrence. So like the Texans, Broncos, I didn't really like last week, but they kind of went out there and just manhandled the Giants. That defense looks legit. However, while week one is calibration week, week two is don't overreact week. So what I'm not going to do is be like, wow, that Jaguars offense looked horrendous and that Broncos defense looked, you know, unscorable. We saw in this Thursday night game, as bad as the Giants offense looked, they still were able to put up points against a very good Washington football team defense because Danny Dimes might just go run for 100 yards. He's still an improviser. He's still a great athlete. So I'm taking Jaguars +6 at home here. They still have, you know, plenty of room to improve. I still don't think the Broncos are that good. +6 at home, just for week 2, seems very high. For it's not like they're playing the Chiefs, not like they're hosting the Chiefs or the Cardinals or, you know, the Bills even, some of your preeminent favorites.
Yeah, so this game, one of the other – very few games that I feel like all the lines are just right.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of those games for me. I do think we'll see a quite a big difference in the offensive scheme going into this game for the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Urban Meyer, I think it was like 8 total touches for his running backs.
They're going against a much tougher run defense. Like, Saquon looked fine against Washington, but he couldn't do anything against the Broncos.
Right. I just think we're going to see a little different Jags theme or scheme. And I'm not a huge believer in the Broncos, but like you said, they did just manhandle the Giants. I don't really like putting my money anywhere on this game. I think I'm just going to keep the money in the wallet on this one.
That's fair. That's fair. It's definitely not the line I'm most confident in, but to pick a side, I like the Jags there. Went on to Bills at Dolphins. Kind of not where you would expect it to be, the Dolphins having the lead in the division after beating the Patriots and the Bills losing to the Steelers. So the Bills, it's not a must win, might be a can't lose.
Right.
Like the division looks like it might be we thought it had a chance to be more competitive than it should be, and that will certainly be the case if they go 0-2, start out 0-2. And for that reason, I like the Bills -3.5 here to go into Florida and come out tied for that division lead.
I'm right there with you. Bills -3.5. I would have thought, you know, I know that the Bills are coming off a loss to the Steelers. I would have thought this line would have been more at that 5.5, 6.5.
I bet it would have if they would have taken care of business like people expect against the Steelers. Right. But they clearly have issues that people don't weren't really seeing. So
yeah, I don't know. I like the Bills here. I think Josh Allen kind of knows this. Like you said, it's not a must win. Your season's never going to be decided.
Right.
But I think Josh Allen kind of knows he needs to take care of business right here.
Especially against a division opponent or losing this. One gives you the negative and some tiebreakers against the Dolphins, who at this point seem like they are going to be the most competition for this division. And also putting them up 2-0, like, you're essentially putting yourself back 2.5 games to this team. So that's not a good place to be in when only two games have been played for the season. Moving on to the Bengals at the Bears. Bengals, you know, playing a lot of starting off the season with the NFC North teams, beating the Vikings in overtime last week. The Bears just kind of manhandled again. The Rams were just the better team. It was plain to everyone who watched it. I initially said, give me Bengals +115. That offense looked very good against the Vikings, who I think are better than the Bears. You know, slight money line underdogs on the road. That usually is telling me these teams are pretty even. They're just giving it to the home team. I ended up switching over to Bengals +2.5 simply because, and I don't know if your brain works like that, this, but mine certainly does. I get scared off by or can get lured in by potential storylines. So I thought, why would I bet Bengals +2.5? What are the odds like that's going to come into play? Just give me that money line there. And then I'm like, you know, Bengals are up 2. Bears are down. It's 2 minutes left, 2 minute drill. They're getting ready to trot out there. And they send Fields out instead of Dalton. And he leads a game-winning field goal drive to start off. Like, you saw a little bit of it at the end of the game with the Rams. Like, just that story. I could see it happening. Like, and then, the you know, all the Chicago fans fall in love with Fields, like, right away. So, like, see how he led that drive. Like, he's a winner. Like, is it likely to happen? No, but if that happens, I'm going to look like a genius taking that 2.5 instead of that money line.
Yeah, so I went money line here, and that was really the only thing I'd be worried about is if Fields, you know, second half comes in. Mm-hmm. Not because I think Fields will look like a, you know, like an all-pro quarterback, you know, his first real half of football. But but it's just that a lot of time he's one of those guys that's just like a spark, you know, like,
right?
Like he can come in and just spark an offense. And yeah, that's really the only thing I'm concerned about. But I do like the Bengals odds here starting the season 2-0.
I'm trying to find here. I'll look up. I was seeing some, I forget where I was seeing it. but some rationale for why this is the exact time to go with Justin Fields because of the defenses that you get for this stretch of games, this 3 or 4 game stretch, because after that it gets very tough again. So it's very hard to put him in week 5 or 6. So obviously you have the Bengals, who aren't a premier defense this week. Next week, he would get to go against the Browns, which is, you know, a solid defense, but not like, you know, a top 5 or whatever defense. And then they have the Lions, which is a favorable matchup. Then they go to the Raiders, again, not a great defense, although they looked good at the end of the game against the Ravens there. And then you'd get – then you have the Packers. And then I believe it gets very tough for them after that, where it's like then you go to the Bucs and you host the 49ers. Like, you don't want to be trotting them out there for, like, let's say, Packers, Bucs, 49ers.
Right.
That's a tough one. Give them Bengals, Browns, Lions, rather than as your kind of your starting lineup of NFL games.
Yeah, and that does make sense. A lot of times it feels like, you know, teams are going to start their rookies, you know, week 4, week 5. But I guess that is a solid rationale as to why you'd start them earlier.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, even I guess you could, if that's what you're worried about, play Dalton against the Browns and then let him play for, you know, against the Raiders and the whoever I said there, that little 2-game stretch to get him a little bit of experience before the Bucs. So where are we at here? Texans, Browns. Speaking of the Browns, big line for just week 2. Browns are 13-point favorites. And the team that is a 13-point favorite is 0-1. A 13-point dog is 1-0. That's just way too many for me to take the Browns. And also, I don't want to – I said it's don't overreact. I don't want to overreact to Texans beating the Jaguars because that doesn't feel like it's that big of a feat to me. What the Texans did show me is the offense isn't incompetent. Not a great Jags defense, but they still put up a lot of points against them. Right. So what I like here is the over 48. The Browns also scored right along with the Chiefs in week 1. I think this can go over pretty easily. I think this could be, you know, in the third quarter, and we're already kind of on a drive to threaten to go over, just because the Texans are going to be able to contribute more to this over than I think people think.
Yeah. I like the Texans plus 13 here. So I fell in love with Tyrod. You know, I'm a big fan of the Pat McAfee show.
Mm-hmm.
He was on there. Just a down-to-earth
humble. Good guy. Just a good
guy. I mean, they were talking about, you know, like how do you even react to, you know, the trainer puncturing your lung and then essentially losing your job?
Right.
And he's just like, well, you know, like Herbert, he had to go out there and perform. I mean, you know, he went out and did it. And mm-hmm. as for, you know, the trainer puncturing my lung, you know, it's had a bad day on the job. Like, you know, doesn't blame the trainer, you know, just blames his play.
Mm-hmm.
Just a down-to-earth, humble guy. Just keep falling in love with him more and more. Almost wanted to take Texans money line. Because the thing about Tyrod, I wouldn't put a full unit, you know, but the thing about Tyrod, he protects the ball. We've talked about that.
Right.
Before. Doesn't turn it over. To win a game where you're such big dogs, that's the first step, mm-hmm. is protecting the football. And he does that very well. I'm still debating about sprinkling a little plus 475. But something I have already bet is Texans plus 13.
Right. That's a good point. Like, you know that it's not going to be like, all right, Browns receiving first half, they march down the field, score. Texans get a first down, throw a pick, and all of a sudden the Browns are starting in enemy territory, right. And it's 14-0, 6 minutes into the game, and you're like, plus 13 is not looking so good anymore. That's unlikely to happen when you have Tyrod back there. So then moving on, Raiders-Steelers, which I really like the spot the Steelers are in for this one. You get, you know, Browns and Ravens to lose in week one. You surprisingly win in week one. You have a chance here to get a win over a similar opponent that the Ravens lost to. So that gives you a little edge there. Kind of just start piling up, you know, these tiebreakers for a division that's going to be, you know, you have to think it's going to be close at the end,
right,
between these teams. Hard to think any team runs away with it. I gave out the Bills and Steelers under because of two great defenses last week. And I'll give out the under again, the under 47 in this game, because the Steelers defense is not the Ravens defense. The Raiders put up a lot of points last week, but that at the time, people questioned the Alex Leatherwood pick when the Raiders selected him in the first round of this draft to play tackle for them. And despite what Najee Harris having no tips and tricks for TJ Watt against his old how to beat his old offensive lineman, the guy's not that good. You saw him getting eaten up by the Ravens pass rush. And I wasn't gonna bet the under here. I was really scouring for a prop for just sacks for the Steelers. I kind of was hoping I could find something, maybe that Melvin Ingram and TJ Watt both record a sack, because there's no hiding your tackle. He's gonna have a very hard matchup, and I just feel like the Steelers are gonna have guys in the backfield all game. I just don't see how this Ravens offensive line is going to be able to handle the pass rush that the Steelers have displayed in week one.
Yeah, so I took a little different line. I do like the value of the Raiders at plus 220 money line. I think if they can kind of replicate that defense they had out there at the end of that Ravens game, mm-hmm. I think this is a game that they could potentially win, kind of like what I thought week one with the Bills and Steelers. This is potentially they could win by, like, you know, 14-10 ball game.
Josh Jacobs is not going to play. Important note, he is out for this game, so it's going to be a Kenyon Drake show.
Yeah, I'm not – like, I like Josh Jacobs. I'm not super high. I don't know how much of a downgrade –
That's kind of more rational what would end up making this bet. Kenyon Drake is fine. He's not a bell cow back. Like, they're not going to give Kenyon Drake 15 carries.
Right.
Like, this is, and that's, it's just not something, I don't think they can throw it, you know, on 75% of the snaps. And you just won't be able to protect Carr, I don't think. So, yeah, I like the under in this game. Like I said, I tried to steer away from, like, Steelers minus 6.5 here, just because it's impossible for me to have unbiased thought on that. But I can watch with my eyes a Ravens pass rush be all over Derek Carr, which I know is a inferior pass rush to that of the Steelers. So I like the under 47 here. I feel like that should be closer to 43. So I'll take that. We got Rams going to the Colts after kind of making an example of the Bears on Sunday night. 3.5-point favorites. I got that line is far too low, in my opinion. The Colts are the subject of the first in-season Hard Knocks for a reason. They did not look good against the Seahawks. The Seahawks looked excellent, and the Rams are – the superior team in that division. And now they're coming to town, and you have to think they will lay the same, if not more of a beating on that Colts team.
I 100% agree. The Colts looked terrible. I'll put it that way. You know, and you can say, oh, you know, the Seahawks defense played great. well, this is the Rams defense, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
So I love the Rams minus 3.5 here at minus 115.
Mm-hmm. This one feels, I feel really good about that one. We got Saints Panthers. Saints trying to, you know, keep a lead on that division. Where the Panthers, you know, got their week one. It's the kind of opposite of the NFC North. A lot of good wins out of NFC South teams last week, outside of the Falcons, of course. But 3.5 for the Saints feels right. I was struggling to find. I considered Jameis, you know, stats, but like over pass yards felt weird to me because he had so few. Yeah, last week, like right, it's that's a lot. Touchdowns, it's hard to think. You can't assume he's gonna replicate a 5 touchdown performance.
Right.
So I ended on kind of a weird one, but I really like it. I like this offense, so I'm going Saints first half over 10.5 points. I was looking at like the game. At first, I was just going to take the Saints game over. I think it was at like 27.5 or maybe 24.5. So first half was only 10.5. Obviously, that can be more influenced by the coin flip. But 2 touchdowns, touchdown, 2 field goal drives. There's a lot of points for this high-powered Saints offense to put over 10.5 points together.
Oh, especially with how good their defense looked right. Week 1. There's a very good chance they get a pick or force a fumble or just something especially, to start a drive in Panthers territory.
Especially against Sam Darnold, who, you know, he still does turn the ball over. So.
Right. So I – Saints minus 3.5 here felt kind of automatic. I don't like doing my boy Sam Darnold like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that team looked almost too complete for week 1.
Right.
Whereas the Panthers clearly had some things to work
see,
on.
It's kind of the don't overreact thing. Like the Saints did look good, but
But to me, it's a different overreact because this team really isn't different than last year's mm-hmm. team. Because I actually think compared to last year, Drew Brees, Jameis is actually a step up at the quarterback position.
I agree with that, but the Saints team last year was not blowing out the Packers like that.
They weren't, but. This Saints team last year has beaten the Panthers by 3.5 is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. If I had to choose a standard line there, it probably would be that. Or maybe just the overall in the game. But the Saints defense did look so good that would worry me a little bit. Now we go 49ers visiting the Eagles. And this, again, I'm not overreacting here. The 49ers were destroying the Lions. The end felt pretty fluky to me. All credit to Jared Goff for getting him there, but spiritually they won that game by 2 scores.
Oh yeah.
And the Eagles, Jalen Hurts was my winner of the week, but let's see some consistency. 49ers minus 3, even on the road seems like the. Let's see what Hurts looks like against, you know, a real defense.
Right. This is one of those games I didn't touch because over-under feels weird just with how bad that Niners defense was at the end of the game. Definitely could be an over. But at the same time, Eagles played a pretty bad defense to put up 30 points against last week. So the under could hit. Everything just kind of felt weird to me with this one, so
mm-hmm.
not touching it.
Speaking of that Eagles-Falcons game, Falcons go to Tampa Bay. Said, you know, the end of that 49ers game was fluky. I feel like that whole Falcons-Eagles game was at least a little fluky, especially that Falcons offense. Even when the Falcons have been bad, they still put up points. They still move the ball.
When the Falcons are bad, they lose 42-21.
Right. The Falcons don't put up 3 points in the Matt Ryan era. They just don't. And the Bucs offense looked, you know, they looked very complete. But the defense, obviously, some injury concerns at the cornerback position. the Cowboys could throw the ball against the Buccaneers. And what do the Falcons do? They throw the ball. So I'm going over 52 here, Falcons at Bucks. This could be another, you know, like we saw Bucks-Cowboys. This could probably not as close, but this could be 35-21.
Yeah. So I have two bets on this game. I also took the over 52. Way I look at it is Falcons are going to throw the ball a ton. If they get down early, they're going to throw it a ton. Even if they're up early, they're going to throw it a ton. And then I also have Falcons plus 12.5. That game to me, it just didn't feel right. I don't think they lose another game like that all season.
Yeah.
I feel more confident about the over 52 than I do about the Falcons covering. But I also I didn't expect the Cowboys Bucks to be that close week one. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not overreacting saying that the Bucks defense is terrible, but
right.
I just think there are points to be scored on that Bucks defense.
It's been proven so far. So now we go Vikings go to the Cardinals. Cardinals dominant week one. Vikings losing in overtime to a Bengals team. And it's kind of simple as that. The Cardinals look so good going to Tennessee that I can't help but bet a minus 3.5 to a Vikings team that looked worse than I thought they would, both offensively and defensively. They still put up points against the Bengals, but their defense was so bad that the offense was just out there a ton.
Yeah. You will see me riding with the Cardinals until further notice. You know, I took them last week. Money line is a gut thing, or I took them to cover. I forget if they were favorites or not last week.
They're underdogs to the Titans.
Okay, then I took them money line. It was a gut pick. But you know, that was kind of all I needed to see. I will 100% overreact when one of my teams plays real well week one. I moved the line this week to minus 6.5 at plus 125. I don't think it'll be 38-40. I don't. I find a hard time believing Chandler Jones has 5 more sacks and 2 right. more forced fumbles. But I do think this game could very well be like 35-14.
Yeah. I got a little quote that will make you sick from sports talk media guy. I will keep him anonymous for his own personal safety from Cody here. He said the Cardinals will go down as the best team in NFL history to finish last in their division.
Yeah, right. Oh, my. Give me his Twitter handle. Sounds like we need to make a friendly bet.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very tough division, but the way they looked week one is.
It is, but I'm saying it right now, right here. You want to bet me? I bet you they're over 500 in their division. I bet you they are 4-2 or better.
It'll all come down to the 49ers games, I think, to get there.
I need the Seahawks twice.
Seahawks looked. I mean, the Seahawks. I don't.
And the Niners. The Cardinals might. Go, they might go 20-0 and win the Super Bowl. Who knows?
It's not off the table. Still very much on the table for exactly 16 NFL teams.
I do believe I got them at plus 75,000 or something to go 17-0.
I bet them to win the division. After week one, I believe they're still plus 550, which feels like good value. Cowboys going to the Chargers. Saw how high-powered that Cowboys offense can be against the Buccaneers. But this is a real Chargers defense. They've got some dogs, especially. They have a good secondary. They got Derwin James back there, finally healthy. And this Cowboys defense, Herbert's going to sling it. He might throw for 400 yards. Like, this is Chargers minus 3.5 at home all day for me. I just like that the Cowboys won against the Bucs because I think that's the whole reason this line is as close as it is.
And I think that'd be close.
I was saying the performance that they had against the Bucs. Otherwise, I think this would be closer to 5.5, 6.5 type game. I just don't see the Cowboys going into LA and stopping the Chargers from scoring any less than as many points as they wish to score.
So I'm actually going the opposite route. I'm taking the Cowboys to cover 3.5. To me, this, I feel like every year you have one of those teams that goes like right around 500 and they win like four or five games by 3 points or less, mm-hmm. like just never on the right side of that coin flip. And
it was the Panthers last year.
Right. I just feel like that could be the Cowboys this year. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be a team that plays down to the level of competition as well as up to the level of competition. I definitely have more faith in the Chargers winning this game. I don't like minus 180. Don't like the value there. I do think the Chargers probably win this game by like 3. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my gut feeling.
So now we got the Titans getting embarrassed by our Cardinals at home, traveling to the Seahawks, who embarrassed the Colts at their home. This line going all the way up to Seahawks -6.5. I'm just going to bet that the Titans were still figuring out that offense with the composition of, you know, Henry and Brown and Jones, and that the Colts stink. That the Seahawks, it's a lot of teams are going to look really good against the Colts this year. I'm going to take the Titans +6.5 at the road. Can't guarantee if they were still figuring it out that it's figured out now magically, but got to hope that was kind of a kick in the teeth they needed. So I like them +6.5. I'm also sprinkling that +230 money line for the Titans to go in and beat the Seahawks, who I still think are the worst team in that division.
I'm also taking Titans to cover for as embarrassed as they got on Sunday. I mean, just straight embarrassed.
They're better than that. They just are.
Yeah, it comes out of that. They're just better than that. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I'm not a Wentz believer. I think the Colts will make a lot of teams look good this year.
Mm-hmm. Going to Sunday night, Chiefs going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. While it is new, this Chiefs new look offensive line is going to protect Mahomes way better than the Raiders did Carr. And Mahomes, some would say, is better than Derek Carr. And some would say that some would say that the weapons that the Chiefs had are better than that of the Raiders. So the Chiefs are going to score 62 points against the Ravens. That said, while they are going to cover the over by themselves, I'm taking them -4. I could add the over because I just like betting the over for the Sunday night game and watching points be scored, but I love the Chiefs -4 here. You know, they almost cover that against the Browns, and the Browns are better than the Ravens.
Yeah, I also have the Chiefs -4, and I also have the over as well. I definitely could see the Ravens. I mean, the Browns put up, what, like 28, 29 or something last week?
A lot of points, yeah.
I could definitely see the Ravens scoring in that realm, but I also can see the Chiefs putting up 40-plus points. Mm-hmm. So I think the over is – Can't use the word lock, but
forbidden. Now Monday night, we're going to a game that we will be in attendance for. The Lions coming to Green Bay. Packers, despite scoring 3 points week one, are projected to win by 11 against the Lions, who, you know, were surprisingly impressive against the 49ers, especially at the end of that game. If I ever am going to a football game and don't bet the over, then what am I even doing here? So I'm taking the over 48. It's not a blind bet. The Packers offense simply has to look better than it did against the Saints. And the Lions have proven they can score points on good defenses even.
Right. So last week was, outside of season-long props, the first time I'd ever bet on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I hate doing it. kind of like you with the Steelers, there's always that little bit of conflict of interest.
Right.
So I'm not touching that game for that purpose. But if I'm being honest, if I were to put money, which I'm not, I'd be taking Lions to cover. I don't know if I can fully believe in the Packers this year. Again, slight overreaction when it comes to my team after week one. But that was just really bad, week one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions did not play all that bad against what is considered one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, they look good.
So, yeah, if I had to put money, I don't hate putting money on the Lions to cover 11.
Mm-hmm.
Divisional game. Divisional games are always tough. We saw that with, you know, when Brady was in New England.
Right.
You know, even when the Dolphins were just god-awful, it was just always a tough
teams game. Don't go 0-6 in their division. It just does not happen. You'll maybe get one team every season that will do it. Just like you'll usually only get one team every season that'll go 6-0 in the division.
Right.
That being said, my lock of the week is on this game. It is, I'm betting it's plus 100. No. Will Cody be welcome back to Lambeau Field after this game? That's the lock of the week. Put it in. A lot of your sports books are actually not offering this line anymore. My lock of the week, the door is open after Taylor Heinicke does not rush for 20 and a half yards, despite me batting it. I'm doing something a little unconventional.
Oh.
Last week, I gave out the teaser, the how could it possibly lose teaser parlay of the week. And I even said it. The only one you're teasing is yourself when you bet the teasers. Get it out of here. The how could it possibly lose parlay is dead. I never want to think about it again. This week, my lock of the week, it is the free money parlay because it's in the name. It's free money. How can it lose? That's not what it's called. It's free money. Browns, money line against the Texans. They have to win this game. They can't go on. They can't start the season 0-2. Patriots, money line against the Jets. They're 1-1. They can't start 0-2, especially against a division opponent here. And the Jets are not good. Buccaneers, money line against the Falcons. Falcons are very bad. And they're at home. They
have to forget they're winning every road.
The Falcons have to go to Tampa Bay for this game. The Buccaneers are going to put up points. That's just going to happen. And the Packers, money line against the Lions. They're 11-point favorites. They're at home. They have to. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay for the first time. The city that is, you know, there's nothing else going on here except for Aaron Rodgers. So no reason for any other players to come here. He has to show up with this offense this week and find a way to beat the Lions. It's the Lions. So if those four things happens, those four things that are guaranteed to happen, you get plus 113. It's plus money. My lock of the week, you know, sell my house, put $100,000 on it, get $113,000 back, buy two houses. It's that easy. It's economics. It's free money parlay lock of the week.
All right. I'm liking my odds of us being 0-2 going in the week 3.
I like the odds of half of us being 0-2. Because if I could bet on that, that would be free money.
So you've got your, you know, your free money, your how could it possibly lose parlay.
Yeah.
So I got a little something I want to start called the If Everything Goes Right parlay.
That's cute. Let's hear it.
So I think Kyler will once again be slinging the ball. I'm taking him at least 4 pass touchdowns for back-to-back weeks doing it. And then the second leg of that parlay is Herbert at least 3 pass touchdowns. We both think he's going to be slinging. And then Matt Ryan will probably have around 100 attempts this game. And I'm taking him to you know, convert three of those 100 attempts into touchdowns as mm-hmm. well. So I've got Kyler at least four, Herbert at least three, Matt Ryan at least three at plus 5,776.
That's pretty high.
That is very high. I like the value for what I'm betting there. Mm-hmm. And when that hits, I will be up, you know, 58 units just on one bet.
I mean, you know, I'm turning my one house into two houses. You're turning your house, bet the mortgage on that. 57. You're incompetent?
I'm buying Madagascar.
I like it. Check us in our new tropical studio for week three. I've got a play on every single game. I just really like the slate. One thing that I didn't like, I'm forgetting it all. What's the Thursday night game next week? Because it stinks again. We can't keep doing this. Like, I was very excited to watch this Giants football team matchup just because I really like Taylor Heineke, but they can't keep doing this. You got to give us a little juice on these Thursday night games.
Panthers.
That's right. That's so gross. Like, it's the only game on, so of course I'm going to watch it, but right, it doesn't mean I have to like it. That's getting a little ahead of ourselves. Those are our bets of the week. I smell a real good week coming for me. That free money parlay, get on board with it while you can before the sports books catch on to my ploys here. My bets are going to win. Hopefully your bets are going to win.
Mine are going to win.
But have a great week two, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday for our week two recap.